Hey everyone, and welcome to the 20th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. This podcast will be an opportunity to highlight some of the amazing members of the One of Us community and help you meet some of the people that make this the greatest group of individuals on the internet. The One of Us community is an inclusive gaming community made up of content creators, viewers, and gamers from all over the world. The community focuses on the tenets of playing games, having fun, and helping to lift each other up. The Discord is open to all people who share these values at discord.gg/oneofus. Make sure you follow and review the podcast to help others find and join the community. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, consider supporting it at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support with a monthly pledge of $1, $5, or $10. My guest this week is Tingles, a man with an incredible story of how he overcome significant adversity to find the community, start streaming, and develop the newest feature of the One of Us Discord, Project Brightside. So sit down, relax, and enjoy the next hour or so with our good friend Tingles on the One of Us Community Podcast. What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 2020 of the One of Us Community Podcast. I'm Rock City Roller again this week, and tonight I am joined by a man that really really doesn't need much of an introduction because he's very active in the community. He is one of the founding member of Project Brightside, one of the newest features of the community. It is Tingles. Did I call you Tingles, or do I have to pronounce all the X's?
No X's are need to be pronounced. They're silent X's, so you're good.
Oh, okay. Silent X's. Okay, that's good. So thanks for making some time to sit down and chat with me.
Dude, thanks for having me. I was pretty blown away when you asked me, so I'm honored to be here. I'm excited, and congratulations on 20 episodes, too. That's awesome.
Dude, it's crazy. It feels like it went so fast.
I bet.
But yeah, no, I'm glad we were able to get this one scheduled. You're one of those people that you're kind of like you've got kind of a weird schedule. You work night times.
Yeah.
So trying to line things up can sometimes be tricky.
Yeah, schedules are fun. Yeah, I work 2 seconds and 3/3, so I'm a little bit all over the place. But actually, my birthday was today, so I took the day off for that. So it kind of worked out.
Wait, your birthday's today?
It is.
Pebble's birthday's today.
That's awesome. That's the first. I don't think I know anybody else with the same birthday, so that's great.
And it's Star Wars Day.
It is Star Wars Day.
Peek behind the curtains for the listener. This isn't live. This was recorded on Saturday.
Yeah. But happy birthday to Pebbles as well. That's awesome.
Yeah. How'd your birthday go?
It went good. Started off early as usual because of the kid. You know how that goes. And then I did a cocoa with Obi this afternoon. And then...
Sick.
Went to actually Relay for Life. The big event for Relay was today.
So, oh, really? Yeah. That's awesome.
So I went and hung out with my wife's there. So I went and hung out with her for a little bit. And then I came back home for the podcast. So it's been pretty busy. Pretty busy day, but a good day. So
did y'all walk at the event or just kind of hang out and support?
Kind of hang out and support. My wife was running the silent auction table. So I kind of sat and hung out with her for a little bit. And just I like to go if I can. So I was able to fit it in. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I used to go. They used to have an event at college. The college I went to, they would set up the event in the parking lot and go like 24 hours.
Yeah, they set up a local college here in the track and field, indoor track and field. It's just huge. It's such a big event.
Oh, nice.
It's a big event every year, and it's pretty fantastic. Yeah,
they always pushed ours out a little later, like into May, so it was warmer, and then they did it outside, which was cool because like everybody would like roll up like grills and stuff, and
right.
You know, there'd be like a barbecue and hanging out, and
it's just a big old party.
Out to the house party and come back at like 3 o'clock in the morning and cheer people on, you know.
Oh yeah,
that type of stuff.
Yeah, it's a good time for sure.
So for the listeners that may have not interacted with you or may have not spoken to you in the past, why don't you explain a little bit about yourself, what you do on the internet, so on and so forth.
Well, I'm pretty new to the streaming side of things. I actually was home on medical leave. I just had a disc replaced in my neck. And that's when I kind of got into Mixer. I had been on it before a little bit here and there, but I kind of had the time to actually sit down and watch it. And I actually happened to be in channel one day. And you guys know how that works. They pull you guys into different channels every 15 minutes, I think it is.
Yeah.
And it just happened to pop into this guy's stream wearing a Mario hat. And I'm like, well, this is interesting. So it's definitely kind of like clickbait. You just got to click. You know, unfortunately, yeah, you just got to check it out. So I checked it out, and it was Rob's stream, of course, you guys know. And I was blown away by how wonderful he was as a streamer and as a person, and just the interactions with chat and some of the people in chat. So I believe I subscribed to him that day. Like, I was that blown away.
Wow.
And then joined the Discord, and yeah, then started streaming after that. Rob kind of pushed me out of the nest, and you did a little bit too, as far as just getting started and doing it. And it's been, I think it's been 4 months already at least, since I've been in the community. And I spent a lot of time while I was off getting to know a lot of you guys, a lot of the stream team, the founding members. And then started doing my own streaming and stuff. And it really took off. I loved doing it, and found a passion for it. I've always had a passion for video games, and streaming is something I've always wanted to do. So once I got pushed out of the nest, I found out that it was really, you know, I really enjoyed doing it. So started doing the streaming on my own. You know, unfortunately, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, my schedule's gotten a little crazy since I've been back to work. But
yeah, I can imagine.
And you know, unfortunately, it's just part of life. This is obviously not a full-time gig, so so I've been back to work for about a month now. So I've actually been streaming a little bit more here and there. It's just trying to find that groove again. But
yeah,
that's a little bit about myself. And then within that time frame, you know, I've told this story before, but Rob actually posted a video about what's your why, which is kind of like what gets you out of bed in the morning. What's your purpose?
Yep.
It was a fantastic video. And to be honest, there's always been, you know, I have a fantastic life. My wife's fantastic. We do celebrated 9 years being married. Actually, this,
congratulations,
on the 1st of May. May's a very exciting, busy month for us.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, you know, my wife's
fan just reminded me my anniversary is at the end of this month.
Yeah, you're right.
Thank you for reminding
me. Writing a note as we speak.
Yeah, yep.
But I have a fantastic family. My mom and dad both live here in town. Very involved with my son, who just turned 5 last month, which is crazy.
Oh man.
I thought
Pebble turning 2 was bad.
Oh, dude, it does not slow down whatsoever. And the more busy and active that the kids get, it goes faster.
It just flies by.
It really does. But so my life's fantastic. You know, I can't complain, but there's always been this piece, a little small piece that I always felt like I didn't know where I fit in, or you know, I just felt like there was something missing. Well, between that video, you know, I kind of talked to you and I talked to Rob, you know, off, you know, privately about my story, what I've been through.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you guys kind of gave me the courage to go ahead and tell it on stream. And once I told it on stream and saw the reaction, it kind of clicked, and I kind of felt like I found my purpose, which is to help people. So I love helping people. I'm a very people person, if that's the right wording. But you know, I love helping people. I love interacting. I love trying to do what I can for people. So that kind of led to me wanting to have a channel where people could come and talk, and just the voice channel, which Rob agreed to immediately, which was fantastic. But then that turned into a little bit more, and it actually turned into what is Project Brightside now. So,
I want to get into that a little bit more in depth later. So I don't want to glaze over it now.
Sure.
Let's start back, because obviously, you know, like you said, you have developed a channel around telling your story.
Correct.
It's kind of the same theme that's rolled into Project Brightside as well. But obviously, you know, you're still using using video games as the background, you know, to those stories. Have you always been into video games? Like, has that always been a part of your life?
Yeah, since I could hold a controller, I've been into video games. It's always been a passion of mine. Since I think, you know, I was, I think I was right. I was right as the time I was getting to know what video games were was about the time the NES came out. So,
oh wow,
yeah. Okay, yeah. So I was right in that generation where that's where like my first real console was. Okay. I'd had some, you know,
golden age.
Yes, and I always had an affinity for the arcade cabinets. Every time, you know, at Happy Joe's or Pizza Hut or wherever, and I'd always be that kid that would beg his dad for quarters just so he could go. Mm-hmm. You know, and pop them in and die really quick, but have a good time at doing it. So, but it really started with the NES, and it really started with Legend of Zelda. Was my first real love for a game that I put like hours into, like so bad to the point where my parents would catch me up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, if not later, and literally would have to hide the controller so that I would go to bed. So that's kind of where I started, and it's always been a passion of mine, to the point to where I almost buy too many games now. So and there's just not enough time in the day. But
it's funny because I went through, like the same thing when I was younger. Was I used to have to put like a towel along the bottom of the door so you couldn't see the light from the flashing of the TV underneath the door.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And then I had like a specific like volume setting, because it was still like one of those old dial volume settings on the TV,
the big old TVs.
A specific one that was just loud enough that I could hear it, but I knew you couldn't hear it from the hallway, right?
Right.
So all of this just to get away with playing video games into the wee hours.
100% the same kid. Like literally every time you heard a little bit of noise, you'd hurry up and turn it down real quick.
Yep.
And turn
yep.
it just off.
Flip it off real quick.
And make sure that nobody was coming. I was the same. Yep. I was the exact same way. Yep. 100%.
And it's funny how things don't really change, because now I still play video games till 2 o'clock in the morning, but
right.
I have to sneak into bed to not wake up my wife and get yelled at for playing video games till 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you definitely don't want to wake her up at that time, because you'll definitely get some scorn, and then it gets worse in the morning. So you really have to be careful when slipping back into bed.
Yeah, it's very dangerous. You know you've learned where all the creaks are in your house very quickly.
all the creaky boards. Yep.
Yeah.
Become a stealth.
So you started out. You started out with Nintendo. You started out with obviously RPGs. If you're playing Zelda, are those kind of the games that you gravitated towards, you know, throughout your kind of gaming life?
I would say that, you know, I'm kind of the same way now. As you guys know, I'm a variety streamer for the most part. I play some really different out there type games, and I've always been that way. You know, I always will try just about anything, just to see how it is. And, you know, that's where I run into trouble as far as buying games. I'm like, ooh, this looks, you know, ooh, a shiny, this looks neat. I kind of want to try it out. And the only way to try it out is to buy it. So, but I've always been into just anything and everything, man. There's nothing that I really won't try. It's just Zelda really caught my eye, you know, as a kid, you know, starting out in video games.
So this is a question that I don't think we've really discussed on the podcast, but like, it almost seems like sometimes we see there's two types of gamers, right? There's a person that finds a game that they love, they invest all their time into it, and it becomes their life. They strive for mastery at that game, and then there's what we'll call them dabblers, right? They like to buy every game, and they play a little bit, but they might not ever get fully vested into it.
There you go.
But they have some knowledge about every single game. So, I mean, would you consider yourself more of a dabbler, where you don't necessarily invest thousands of hours into a single game, but you're touching a lot of different games that, you know, throughout the course of a year?
Yeah, 100%. I'm a dabbler, without a doubt. When you explain it like that, there has been some games that have that I've put a lot of time into. But I'm for sure a dabbler. I love trying a little bit of everything. So that maybe I'll find that, you know, I've found a lot of diamonds in the rough doing that too.
I'm sure.
Been a lot of fun to play. So 100% a dabbler. I like to try a little bit of everything. So that's kind of my MO.
Destiny was what broke me from being a dabbler.
Yeah.
So the what was it, 2013? I believe 2014, when Destiny came out, was a good year for games. There was a lot of games that came out.
Yes.
There was a Forza game. Master Chief Collection came out. I believe one of the Far Cry games came out. And I was in that situation like you are, where like all these new games come out. They look really good. I buy them. I play them for 10, 15 hours. And the next one comes out and I play it for 10, 15 hours. And like by the end of the year, I had this like 40, 50 hour backlog. And that was just on console. And then you look at, you know, a Steam sale comes up and I buy 30 games for 47 cents.
Because it's a deal.
Because, you know, maybe I'll play it someday.
Maybe I'll come back to it. Maybe I won't. But at least I've got it, and I got it for cheap. So
I think the last time I checked, I had 174 games in Steam, and I think I've played 20 of them.
Wow. Yeah, we're in the same boat.
But then Destiny came along, and I think, as we all know, like that got its hooks into me. And that was probably the first time since, like, the EA Skate series where, like, there was a game that I just couldn't put down, right?
Right.
And you know, 2,000 hours later, you know, I've done everything there is to do in Destiny 1, and now we're moving on to Destiny 2. But I find that I kind of bounce back and forth between that as well. You know, like Destiny 2, I'll think it's, I'm coming up on 1,000 hours in Destiny 2 between console and PC. But then, like, in content droughts, I'll jump in and, like, I'll play this game for 20 minutes. I'll play this game for 4 hours. I'll play this game for 6 hours. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's interesting how we have, like, there's almost different styles within people that enjoy the same hobby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what game, if you were to fire up your Xbox right now, what game are you turning on?
What game am I turning on right now?
Yeah.
Well,
not right now because we're recording a podcast.
Well,
but
yeah, no, like not after exactly, the podcast. After the podcast, I think Realm has really got its hooks back in me.
Yeah.
I dabbled a little bit when it first came out, and I kind of got away from it. And now I've got all these friends in the community that play it, and it's a lot of fun.
It is.
I don't particularly gravitate towards BRs. You know, I'm more of a, you know, single player type game streamer and always have been. But that game is just fun, and I've got so many people that play it. And you can go in there and you can play it, and it's probably the most solid BR out there right now, I would say. And it's just so much fun. Like I can waste away hours.
Mm-hmm.
And before I know it, you know, 4 or 5 hours are gone by, and I'm like, holy cow, I've got to do something else. But
you're sneaking into bed because it's, you know, it's way too late.
I'm missing those creaky boards so that my wife doesn't wake up and be like, what are you doing? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Why are you just climbing into bed? So
exactly.
But that for sure, I would say the other one, and it will be when it comes out here in August, is Madden. I'm a huge,
really
huge Madden player. I was just looking up on my Xbox while we're talking because I know I put a lot of time into it. But 19, I put 49 days into.
Holy smokes.
49 days. That makes me feel a little bit bad saying that, but that's literally what it is.
I didn't realize that you were that into Madden. That's awesome.
I am. I'm a huge Madden guy.
So Madden used to be the only game that I bought every year when I was younger.
Yep.
And the reason was, is I had a buddy that wasn't into video games, right? Mm-hmm. But we would hang out, we'd go out skating, we'd come back to my parents' house, and like he would play Madden because he was big into football. And so I'd buy Madden, we'd hook it up on the big TV, and we'd sit there all night and play Madden.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that you played it. Now, do you play online a lot, or you just kind of do career mode type stuff?
I do play online a little bit. There's some really sweaty players in Madden, though. They have the Madden Ultimate Team, which is basically like fantasy teams where you get packs and you put together
your own team. I sunk a lot of time into FIFA Ultimate Team.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about how much money was sunk into packs, but we'll just say that it was a significant amount. But that's my jam. That's like I'm juiced already for 20. Like I cannot wait for it to come out.
Yeah.
And I go through.
I wish they would make it crossplay because I would definitely pick it up and play with you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, and the other game that I always picked up every year too, and I'm sad that we don't have it. And this is a whole other topic in itself, but is NCAA football. And I'm so sad when that got when that went away because of using players' names and likeness and stuff like that. But that was my other jam back in the day. But Madden's that one game, and a lot of people say, "Well, it's just roster changes." And I say, "Well, I don't care. I'm going to buy it every year." So it's just one of those games that I get guaranteed. So I'm looking forward to 20. But yeah, big Madden player on top of it.
So are you a big football fan? I assume then.
Yeah, huge sports fan in general.
Oh, really?
That's actually what I went to school for, was journalism. That's what my degree was in.
Oh, really?
And I wanted to get into sports writing, and I was actually at the local newspapers But it never panned out money wise. I realized that it was really hard to break into the industry itself. So it's still a passion of mine. I've always been a big sports fan, but yeah, I'm a huge football fan, but just a big sports fan in general.
Who's your team?
Bears, yeah. Football, Cubs, baseball.
I take it you're from the Illinois area.
Yes, but I'm actually a Pittsburgh Penguins fan for hockey, believe it or not, which is a little really? Way outside the realm. But
I hate the Penguins. So
I suppose you're a Rangers fan.
No, I'm a Sabres fan until the playoffs started. Then I'm a Rangers fan. we're in close proximity to Buffalo here. So yeah, I was raised a Bills Sabres fan.
There you go.
But obviously then the playoffs come and I pick another team.
I tell you what though, the Bills fans, man, the Bills Mafia, they are crazy. They're some of the most rabid fans.
Single-handedly, I don't care. I've been to the Big House, in Michigan. Like I've been to a lot of big football games. Mm-hmm. You are never going to get a better tailgate than you're going to get at Ralph Wilson Stadium.
No, they are nuts. They break tables care, and it gets out of control, and it's pretty awesome.
And it will forever be Ralph Wilson Stadium. I don't care about this name bullshit.
I don't care what name's on it.
Yeah, no, it's but yeah, it's always funny because then I see like videos from other cities of them trying to like dive onto tables and stuff. It's not the same. It's not the same, man.
No, it's not. There's only one Bills Mafia, and it can't be reproduced.
They when they made the playoffs 2 years ago, they made a 4 minute long tribute video to the fans, and it was probably one of like the most like moving like type of things because there's people on there where like the guy was he had his kid, with him, and they were going to watch the playoff game together. Mm-hmm. Like he had a newborn kid, and he goes, "This is the first time in my life that the Bills have ever made the playoffs." And like that was like as much of a joke as it is. Like that's what it meant to a lot of people. And like you know, old man that was like 99, he's been fucking Bills fan all of his life.
That's
like,
awesome.
This is his first playoff game he's going to and shit. But it was
cool. It's the same thing with me being a Cubs fan when the Cubs won the World Series in 2016, dude. That was some of the most like some of those videos they put together were some of the most incredible videos I've ever seen. I was
rooting hard for the Cubbies in 16.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. As a sports fan, that's probably like the ultimate. I don't know if that'll ever be topped for me. So
no, it's one of those things. Like it was the same thing when Boston won. Was their first one like back in like 2003 or something like that? You know, when they finally broke the curse, and it's like it's cool to see that because like you know how much it means to those fans,
right?
You know, the people that get so invested in these teams and so invested in sports the same way that we get invested in our games, and it's cool to see them have that payoff and have that, you know, have that weight lifted off their shoulders.
And as much fun as it was, though, I was a wreck for the playoffs. Like I don't know, like emotionally, like if I could go through that again, I probably would, obviously. But I was pretty spent after they finally took care of business and won. But incredible moment.
If the Bills ever made the Super Bowl again, I would have to be like medicated.
I thought I was gonna have to. I really did. Especially that last game when it, you know, they tied it up and it went into extras, and then in the rain delay, I was an absolute wreck. My wife thought I was crazy, but I was an absolute wreck. So I get it 100%. One of the greatest moments as a sports fan, and a lot of moments too that you can recognize. Like I'm not a Boston fan, but that was pretty cool when they did it. Back in 2003, and then Tiger just won the Masters. You know, I watched that, and I'm not a huge golf fan, but it's moments like that as a sports fan that I just absolutely love to see.
Yeah. The Tiger one was big for me because I grew up with my dad watching Tiger play.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so to see him come back and win the Masters was it was kind of moving.
Yeah, that final round was nuts. But yeah, dude,
he's one of those guys, man. I'm telling you, if he ever like. He's just an unnatural talent, and if he ever gets his mind back and he gets his body back, he will be unstoppable again. And it's scary. We may never see, we may never see a player like him again.
No.
And I really, as much as I respect Nicklaus, I really want to see Tiger break Nicklaus's record.
And he's up there in age, but for a golfer, yeah, he's not that old. So I mean, no, he could make a solid run into the twilight of his career and break that record. Records are meant to be broken, I feel like. So I always root to see those records broken. So it's pretty neat, for sure, to see as a sports fan.
All right, so that got us way off topic.
Way off topic.
Yeah. So you mentioned in your original story how you found Rob through Channel One, and that's how you kind of got a little bit more invested into streaming communities. What drew you to the One of Us community and made you want to spend more time with the community and invest yourself a little bit more in that community?
I think I joined shortly after I found Rob's stream, but I was kind of quiet at first. When you jump into a group that big, it can kind of be intimidating because everybody's so established. So I was pretty quiet at first, and I would jump in Rob's stream, and then I just saw the absolute love and the outpouring of support. And it kind of gets a little crazy, but everybody does. But just the support on the Discord and the love for one another, and it's just a camaraderie. It's like another family, and at this point I really consider you guys like second family for me, and it's just fantastic. And just how everybody rallies around everybody, and everybody's included and nobody's excluded.
That is the founding principle, yes, of the community.
Yes, and it's just yes, it is, but it's true, I was just blown away by how much support I got, once I started getting involved in people's channels and I started streaming, yeah, and every time I turn on that camera, man, the support and the hosts and the people that show up and hang out, it's just fantastic, man. Go ahead.
We talked about this. I talked about this with Tool, I think, on his episode, because him and Undead both took pretty sizable breaks, for different reasons, but they took breaks, I think, like as Rob was kind of getting bigger and getting partnered, and same with Obi and Moody, and everybody that's grown so fast. Like I feel like there's just been an exponential growth in the community over probably like the last 3 to 4 months, and they came back and there was all these new people, hundreds and hundreds of new people that have never seen them before, because they were gone before those people joined the community. And they said that, when they came back to streaming, right, and then they went live, the community rallied around them. And that was when we were talking about founding the community, the founding principle is that everybody's included. Like this isn't supposed to be an exclusive club, that people feel left out of stuff
again. Yep.
Yeah. But at the same time, we also wanted to build a type of community where we can lift each other up, yep. So the fact that everybody is so supportive of everything that everybody does is incredible. This podcast is a perfect example of this.
Yep.
This is going to be the 20th episode, but we crossed 1,500 total plays in last week, in less than 20 weeks.
That's awesome, man.
That's insane. Yeah. Like that's such good numbers for essentially just me getting on a microphone and talking to people, yeah, and interviewing people, and then like you get started, everybody shows up, everybody wants to be supportive, everybody supports what everybody is doing, and it's such an incredible feeling, just to be involved.
Yes,
with that, what I mean. Yeah. Like it astounds me every day, and then I get DMs from people saying, thank you for this. I haven't felt like I've been included in many communities, but here I feel included, and like that's the type of shit that drives me to keep going.
Yes.
And we have that in bundles in this community.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I just can't say enough about this community and what you guys have meant to me, and it's been fantastic so far, and I look forward to the future too. I can't wait to see what happens.
So you got into streaming obviously, you mentioned that Rob and I kind of shoved you out of the nest, told you to just do it.
Right.
But, you know, you kind of wanted to get into streaming because you had a story to tell. Do you want to share that story on the podcast?
Yeah, I would love to. You guys have allowed me to tell my story. So it's not as, not that it was ever hard to tell, but it was always something that, it always brought up bad feels, and I never mm-hmm. want to bring stuff down, but you know, I look at it a different light now, but yeah, it started, I had a pretty normal life growing up, great mom and dad, the usual stuff. Never really got into trouble too much, anything major, anything. So, you know, I was in this dead end job, and, I finally decided to, I hadn't finished school, hadn't finished college. So I quit that job, and actually life started to get good. I finished college. And about that time, I actually found my wife, excuse me. We actually met online on a dating website, believe it or not. And we just happened to go to the same school, and she messaged me and we met up, and the rest is history. But so I met what was my future wife at the time, and stuff was good. She was really involved in stuff, charity work and whatnot, mm-hmm. and things were good. And then I actually, it had this mole on my back, and I was never the type that went to like the tanning beds or had my shirt off and got baked or anything like that. But it was just this thing, and it was in the way. And she said, "Why don't you go get it checked out and get it removed?" I said, "Yeah, you're probably right. It's just a nuisance." So went and saw somebody. He said that he didn't think it was anything bad, but he couldn't take care of it. And he actually set me up with another surgeon. And he took it off. As soon as he saw it, he said, "This has to come off now." So it went from not being a big deal to being something that might be a big deal. So I get it removed. It gets tested. I actually got set up with an oncologist at the time, and this was like, I mean, days. I'm talking days before our wedding. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was days or maybe a week or two before the wedding. And I get told that, you've got skin cancer. And that was probably the scariest moment in my life was that moment. Because you don't know how to react to that type of news. The waiting.
There's nothing that could prepare you for that.
No, and it's like the worst of the worst case scenario. And as you're waiting for this appointment, a million things are going through your head. You can't sleep. You're worried about this, and then you finally get that news that confirms your fears, and it's like, okay. And so we had that moment when we got the news where my wife was there, and we just had the moment where we just broke down and let it out. And after that moment, we're both very strong headed individuals. We work very well together in that respect. And after we had our moment to have our emotional, letdown, we picked ourselves up and we said, "Well, how do we beat this?" And that was always my mentality I went through 30 days of chemo every day, and then 3 days a week for a year after that. So my mentality at that point was, how do I beat this? What do I do to kick cancer's ass, basically? And
yeah,
that was my mentality through the whole thing. And luckily I had a strong support system that allowed me to do that. So I get through the 30 days of chemo, and I still tried to work during that time. But eventually got to the point where it was just draining me. I couldn't stay awake at work. So I went on medical leave. And then we were actually in an apartment at the time, and we luckily, my in-laws are fantastic. I couldn't ask for, they're like second moms and dad to me. They actually took us in and let us live with them for a year, maybe even longer than that, because we just couldn't. We've been off work, and I only got so much from work for being off, and eventually it got to be too much. And we just, we asked them, and they asked us, actually. They told us that they would open, let us live with them. I'll never be able to thank them enough for that. That was one of the most incredible, generous things anybody's ever done for me. So, so we get through the treatments, and, I do everything. And there's points in there that, I felt like things were taking turns for the worse, but I never gave up hope. I always had that strong support system. I never want to let, you know, I always have that. I'm just strong willed. Always have been.
Yeah.
And so we get through, fast forward, we get through that year, and luckily to say I've been cancer free now for, I think this is actually, May is, like I told you, May is very busy. May is also my cancer free month. Also, I can't remember exactly.
No way.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what day, but it's been, 8 years, cancer free. Wow. So, yeah, totally stoked for that. We're finally at like year long checkups. You know, I always dread those checkups, though, because anytime you go through this, you dread those checkups because you always.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You always think, "What if?"
Especially when you've been through a situation like you were, where it went from nothing major to, "Oh my God, this is major!" You know, at the snap of a finger.
Yeah.
You know, you of course you're gonna dread anytime that you've gotta go get checked.
Yeah, it's definitely the. It's not so bad because I, you know, I expect to be okay, but you always wonder what if. And so, you know, things got better after that. Went back to work. Things seemed to be good. And then I'm terrible with dates. I am awful with dates. My wife always gives me a hard time because I'm awful with dates. but I believe it was 2014 or 13. I actually started having terrible hip pains, and fast forward to long story short, I had avascular necrosis, which is where the blood supply gets cut off to the bone and the bone itself dies and therefore becomes extremely brittle. So I went and got x-rays because I'm like, man, my hip is just killing me. Like I couldn't walk very well. Couldn't hardly get around to work, couldn't get around to home. So I go get an x-ray, no big deal. And I was actually at Family Video renting video games, kind of tie this all together. When I got the call and they said, get off your feet immediately, I'm like, oh, what? What do you mean? So they tell me this big, scary word, avascular necrosis, and then tell me what it is. So basically had to have that hip replaced. And then actually 2 years after that, my right hip also did the same thing. So I've got double hip. I've had both hips replaced. I had the mole removed on my back. I actually had, they found cancer in my lymph nodes. So they had those removed. They found cancer in my thyroid. I have that completely removed and have to take 2 pills every day for that. So yeah, double hip replacements. And then after that, things got better again. Well, fast forward to about, 24 months ago ish. I start having terrible, like joint pain all over, and this is like widespread and this will not go away. So we actually went to a regular doctor, then we went to a rheumatologist, and then that rheumatologist kind of gave up on me. So we had to I completely switched my medical team. Started over with a brand new doctor, a brand new rheumatologist, trips to Springfield and back, which is 2.5 hours away from us. Oh, so we were making multiple trips there. Couldn't, you know, the people in Peoria, or which is about an hour away, the people originally could not figure it out, what was going on. And they kind of gave up on me, and we're so strong-willed that we said, screw it, forget you guys. We're going to find somebody that's going to figure this out. But in doing that, I had to start all over. Of course, I had all these tests run to figure out what was going on, and they couldn't figure it out. So I finally find a fantastic set of doctors. They finally figured it out. It came down to, I had a herniated disc in my neck that was actually pinching the spinal cord and was creating all this, just wreaking havoc on my joints to where I just could not move. So they replaced that in January. And so that kind of leads up to now. So that's kind of my story in a nutshell.
So you've been through some shit.
Yes, I've been through some shit. Yes, I've been dealt some really shitty cards. And
yet... So, I mean, the reason I wanted you to kind of tell that story is I still think that you managed to be one of the most positive people in this community.
Yeah.
And for you to go through all of that and still remain positive is, you know, I think a testament to your character.
Well, thank you.
And it's incredible to see, and it's inspiring to see, because then, you know, I mean, like, for example, I can look at my life and be like, yeah, you know what? My job sucks, but like it could be a lot worse.
Right.
And to be able to put things in perspective like that is important, I think.
Yeah, I look at the same way you do. I look at you know, other people's stories and stuff, and they say, I really, you know, I did have it bad, but I don't look at it like that. I look at it like maybe I didn't have it as bad as this person. And I always don't think that I had it bad. I always don't, because I've always been a fighter through everything, and it just continued through this. And I'm not bitter about it. I've never been bitter about what I've been through. And that may be some, you know, hard for some people to not be bitter, but I looked at it and it kind of led to me to what, you know, I with, you know, PBS, the Project Brightside, I realized that maybe my reason that I'm still here is to tell my story to help people. And, you know, that's that it helps keep me from being bitter just because maybe I can help somebody else. And, you know, I always thought from the beginning when I first got diagnosed that I was going to beat this thing's ass. And I never gave up that mentality. I never quit thinking that. No matter some of the nights where I couldn't sleep, where I thought I was dying because I hurt so bad, and I never gave up hope. And I want to help people who are going through the same shit that I've been through. And I want to help them to find the same hope and never give up hope. Because when people lose hope, that's when things tend to go downhill. And, you know, some people don't survive that when they lose hope. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. And, so that's, I've never been bitter, and that's why, because I don't think that, it's something to be bitter about.
All right. So I'm glad we went through that. I want to talk a little bit about Project Brightside. Mm-hmm. And as much as there is to talk about, I'm going to try to keep it brief so that we can get into some of these Discord questions.
Right.
So Project Brightside obviously is something relatively new to the community. Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, originally your brainchild. Mm. You and I spent a lot of time talking, working with other resources to get more information.
Yes.
And kind of developing the plan with Rob and the rest of the founders.
Correct.
To really set something up to be successful in the community. At which point I kind of stepped away, you know, and I told you when I did that I'm not keeping hands off. I'm just monitoring and letting you guys create, you know, your team create your success.
Right.
And I think you guys have done a magnificent job. You know, the amount of stories that people are sharing and the support that they're seeing, I think is incredible.
Yeah.
So obviously what was the original thought process behind what ultimately became Project Brightside?
It just kind of, it leads back to how, you know, what I talked about before, and then seeing that video, finding out that I wanted to help people. And it's something that I've always, mental health is something I've always had a passion for, as far as awareness and helping to get rid of the stigmas and get rid of the labels that we put on people just because that they're wired a little differently than we are. Doesn't make them people that we should label broken. And I think that our society as a country and as a world, it's not only in the US, it's all over, towards mental health has taken a back seat to other things and has really lacked in the focus that needs to be put on it, because it's become to the point to where, you know, when I put this project together, I didn't realize, you know, I knew people were probably out there that needed help, but I didn't realize how many people that it affected. And, you know, it makes sense because games are kind of a way for us to escape reality. So a lot of times people that, you know, may be wired differently or have, you know, mental health issues, use video games to escape those problems. So, when I knew that there would be quite a response, but I've blown away by the response of Project Brightside, and some of the stories and the fact that people are willing to tell them is incredible. But you know, it just came from my story and what I've been through, figuring out that this is what I want to do, is help people, and having the platform of the One of Us community that has established members, established founders, established streamers, established security team. It was the perfect storm to put this project together, and so much support from within the community, so many like I said, establish people that are going to feed the success for the Project Brightside to reach not only the people in this community, but hopefully people outside the community too, because that's one of the goals as well. You know, I try to help as many people as possible, and I just love helping people. I didn't realize until, you know, recently that I just have this passion for, you know, I've always loved to help people and help out people that I see, but this has become a passion for me that has become this absolute fire inside. And, you know, it just, like I said, it just stems from my story and figuring out this is what I want to do. Talk to Rob about having just a channel, a voice channel, and that kind of manifest into, you know, what PBS is today, which is actually a piece of the One of Us Discord. And
so let's talk about that for a bit. So let's give a quick breakdown for, you know, any listeners that might have not scrolled down in the Discord list or may not have visited the Discord server in a while. How does Project Brightside show up within Discord? What do each of the channels represent? And things like that.
It's labeled, you know, the Project Brightside with the sun. It's actually got its own drop down menu, and it has Let's Talk, which is basically a place where people that need help, that need the one-on-one help, can come and, you know, say they're in trouble. One of the staff members will see this. We'll try to jump on it as soon as we can. When I put together the team, I tried to have people that were in different time zones to help with that. So it's a place for that. It's a place to just talk it out to if you don't necessarily need, you know, one-on-one help, but it's basically like a general chat channel that also works as a filter to get help to the people that need it. Tell Your Story. That channel has been fantastic. It's basically a place where you can either come and tell your story with a label on it as far as what triggers might be included. We also have the ability to direct message any of the staff members, and they will actually, that you feel comfortable with, and that they will actually post for you anonymously, which I think is fantastic. It's just another way, because not everybody wants to be identified, so it just gives another way for them to tell their stories. And telling your story, I've seen a lot of people get you know, therapy from just telling their story and just putting it out there and letting people see it and getting the feedback. So it's good to have
an outlet. Yes. You know, and to be able to just get it off your chest. Yeah. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we deal with things that aren't easy to talk about. And sometimes it's easier if you're able to type it out, think about your words, and then, you know, just hit enter and not be able to double think yourself.
Yes.
But then once you get it out there, it's like, it's almost like, whew, holy shit. Like that's off my chest. Like, I feel a lot better. So yeah, I think that like that has been, one of the, I think greatest successes of the project so far. And I will warn, you know, anybody that hasn't been in there yet, like there's some heavy stuff in there.
Very heavy.
And a lot, I mean, everybody's been really good about prefacing their stories with, you know, what it contains. So like if there's stuff that you see, you know, if, you know, addiction or abuse or things like that, you know, bother you or trigger you, you know, at least that way you can see that before you go through and start reading these stories. I think it's a testament to what you guys are doing. It's a testament to what the community as a whole is doing, that people feel comfortable with that as a place to tell their story. And I think that even like we said, because obviously, you know, none of you guys are mental health professionals, you know, so we can't offer professional help or anything like that. We can really just be kind of, you know, someone to talk to, shoulder to cry on, or a place for you to vent your story. And I think that that's been a huge success. And it's something I'm very proud to say that we were able to get done. And I can't give enough commendations to you and your team for putting this together. Because like I said, there was a small group of us that did the kind of behind the scenes planning, kind of drafted up what the mission statement was.
A lot of hammering out of details.
Yep. And then, you know, your team kind of ran with it to get everything set up, and it went live. And I think it's gone off without a hitch. Yeah. And a lot of people don't realize it, but this was probably a month and a half, 2 months worth of planning before we even got to the point where those channels showed up.
Yeah, it's a lot more work into it than people realize as far as getting it going, because there's so much that you have to be careful with. So we just want to make sure that we had everything hammered out so that we could have a successful launch. And I think we did that. And sometimes patience is a virtue. And sometimes it makes sense with something like this to hammer out every single detail and make sure you have every T crossed and I dotted before you launch something like this. So
my dad always said, measure twice and cut once.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I've heard that before, and it makes sense, especially with something like this. And you know, I can't thank the founders and the stream team enough for supporting this. Everybody was on board, and it would have been so easy for them to say no, because I hadn't been here very long. But for you guys to say yes and be on board with it was fantastic. And I can't thank you guys enough for believing in this project and supporting it like you have.
It's one of those things where, like, I don't think anybody, you know, anybody that has a yellow name in Discord ever thought that this community would be to where it is today, you know, a year and a half ago when we started it, and it was just a couple of us streaming to 8 people on 2 days a week. But at the same time, like, we realized that with that platform, like, with that growth, with that success at building a community, like, there's certain things that we want to do to be able to give back to our community. You know, that's the giveaways we do, you know, on a more fun level. But this is another way that we can help to maybe better somebody's life, you know, or let them get a load off their chest, let them vent to people that aren't going to judge them, aren't going to, you know, troll them, aren't going to make fun of them. They're just going to be supportive, you know. And then obviously the charity streams that we do, you know, from now and again.
Yes.
And I think that's like, that's a very important part of community, is giving back to everybody,
paying it forward. And,
yeah. And it's nice to see that, like, that is not just driven by the founders and the stream team. You know, I think you and Sharky and R2, and I know I'm fucking forgetting names. You guys, I'm gonna crucify myself later for this, but you guys just had a very successful charity stream.
Yes,
it had nothing to do with the stream team. I don't think anybody from the stream team was even on it. But you know, Sharky came to me and said, "Hey, we're thinking about doing this. Are you okay with it?" And I say this to everybody that runs a charity stream. There's no problem with you using the one of us name for a charity stream. I can't necessarily give time to help plan it and things like that.
Right.
But if you write up, you know, a short little blurb, or if you have a graphic or something, let me know. It'll go in the announcement section, and we'll tag everyone so people know that it's there.
Right.
But that's amazing. Like, that's, you know, seeing that the community that we've built is doing that on their own is absolutely phenomenal.
And those little incredible. Those little seeds you planted and trying to pay it forward and help, you know, within the community are starting to sprout, and it's fantastic to see a community like this take off and grow. It's I can't wait to see what happens in the future.
Yeah, man, it's crazy what's going to happen in the next year or so.
Yeah.
All right, we're already trending super long, so we need to get into some of these Discord questions. I had a feeling that this episode was going to be a longer one, because, you know, like I said, you have a very, you know, you have a very strong story, right, that I think needs to be shared. But also, you know, Project Brightside, I don't, you know, there was an official announcement in Discord, but there might be people that listen to this podcast that are not in the Discord channel and
right,
or might not pay attention close enough to it, to realize that that's there.
Right.
And I wanted to kind of speak to that a little bit. I think it's time to get into some questions.
Yeah. A lot of information. I was actually afraid we weren't going to have enough content to talk about. I was afraid I was going to go too short, but apparently I was completely wrong on that.
Everybody that says that has the longest episode. I can't remember who it was. Somebody's like, "Oh, it was Skid, right?" Skid's like, "Yeah, good luck getting an hour out of me. I'm not very talkative," right? And I think he had the longest episode for like 3 weeks.
Yep.
All right, let's get into the Discord questions.
Let's
then.
Do it.
What's the origin story of your username?
Tangles is actually it's a play on my last name. is actually, you know, you replace the S with a Y, so that's actually my last name is Tingley. It's just always been a nickname that I had growing up, and it just kind of stuck, and I just ran with it. So it's really, really just been a nickname I've had for years, and I just kept it. Don't ask me the origins of the X, because I just thought it looked neat, so that's what we went with.
It's because it's MLG, bro.
Yeah, I'm definitely a pro. I'm definitely MLG in everything I play, which is a false statement. So, but yeah. That's kind of the origin of it. Very, very simple. Just a nickname that I had growing up.
Toilet paper over under the roll.
I really wanted to say under just to see what the reaction would be, but that would be
fun. It would suck to delete this 53 minutes of podcast recording.
So we'll go with over just for the sake of not getting my podcast deleted.
All right, and I'm going to retire this question because I want to start rotating some new ones in. So you'll be the last one to answer it. What Spice Girl do you relate with the most?
I knew this question was going to come up, and it's really hard for – I couldn't really decide, but I guess Sporty Spice just because of my love for sports.
I think that's the realest answer we've ever gotten.
Well, then it's a success as it goes out into retirement. We finally got a successful answer. So
I think you're the only person to ever answer that question, like, in the way that it was supposed to be answered. It's like, well, I love sports, so I'd be Sporty Spice. Like that. Yeah, that's okay. Cool.
I didn't have any clever answer like some people.
Yeah. Who was your role model growing up?
I would say my grandpa. I know this is everybody, but my grandpa on my mom's side, I'm going to get this wrong because I'm terrible with ages, but he's in his late 80s and he still farms full time. Wow. 8 to 10 hours a day, still drives a tractor, still has cows, still has pigs, and his work ethic, it was always something that was incredible to me. I've never seen somebody with a better work ethic than him. And he had 6 kids, my aunts and one uncle. And you know how, I mean, farming's not a glorious lifestyle, especially growing up in the 50s and the 60s. It's not something that was very profitable. So his worth ethic and determination has just been something that I always looked up to. He's always been incredible, incredible man. And I hope that along with my dad, who's also been incredible, I just hope that I can be half the dads that they were and half the men that way they were, because they've always been my grandpa. His work ethic, like I said, he's 85 at least, and they still go for full-time farming. And it's just incredible for me to see somebody with that type of drive and determination.
I can appreciate that. But I really hope I'm not working at 85.
No, I can guarantee I will be not working at 85. So I don't have the same type of drive to go that long, for sure.
Yeah. Favorite flavor of Pop-Tart?
This is a tough one because I'm a huge Pop-Tart fan and always have been.
Something great.
Pop-Tarts are fantastic. I would say, I think raspberry or s'mores, because I gotta go both sides of the coin here, because you got your fruity, you got your fruit side, and you got your more dessert side. So either raspberry or s'more is probably my favorite Pop-Tart flavors.
You know what, this question has revealed a lot, right? I'm surprised at how many weirdos we have in this community, because nobody has picked frosted brown sugar cinnamon, and I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you people.
That's actually believe it or not, that's my wife's only Pop-Tart flavor that she'll eat. And she,
oh my god, okay, at least you got somebody grounding you in normalcy over there.
It's just, it's just not exciting enough for me. I need a little bit of flavor.
It's brown sugar cinnamon. What more excitement do you need?
I'm just not a fan. I gotta have my raspberry and my s'mores.
Everybody's like, frosted cherry.
Right.
I'm like, you do know that there's more than one flavor. Like, I feel like
that's the,
yeah, like that's just like the stock flavor, right? And then there's like all these other, you know, all these other flavors. Jeez. Okay. Robert M. Catalano asks, and he kind of directed these more towards the PBS side of things. Mm-hmm. He goes, if someone wanted to join Project Brightside, what qualities would you look for?
I just have to. It would be just somebody that's caring and willing to help. I want to see somebody that's willing to not only, end PBS itself, because anybody's welcome to show support in PBS, for stories or just talk in general. I just want to see somebody compassionate to what a person's going through, because it's such a touchy subject, and it's you have to be so careful with what you say and how you say it. So I just want to see somebody that's willing to work and willing to help and be there on a constant basis, and somebody with the with a compassionate heart. You just have to show the willingness to want to help people and do it in the right way. And the rest of it'll fall in line. So that's really the main thing I try to look for. And some if somebody wanted to join PBS.
Pug asks, what do you enjoy most about being in the One of Us community?
Just the absolute camaraderie and the love that everybody has for each other. Like I said, some of you guys have become like almost like second family to me, because I spend, a lot of time with you guys, and it's the family aspect of it. I just absolutely love it. You feel like, I've been here for around 4 months, I think. But it feels like so much longer than that. And I've heard that multiple times. And I think it's just because we're so close as a community. The other part I love about this community too is that when you go in other people's streams and you see the same people, and you start developing like, oh, hey, fancy seeing you here. It's because we're it's because we're so close and so tight knit that we run in the same circles.
You're all multi-screening the same three streams.
And I think that's the other great part, is just the fact that, you develop these relationships, even though you've never met this person, you feel like you know them so well, which you really do, because you spend a lot of time with them. And it's one of those things where so many of you guys, I cannot wait to actually meet in person one day. So it's just an awesome second family for me. And that's the most fantastic thing about this community.
Wolfie Boy asks, what inspires you to help others?
I just think it goes back to my story and the amount of help that I received from my family, my wife, my wife's family, everybody at work, at my employment, place of employment, to the nurses and the doctors, and just the amount of people that were willing to help me get through such a tough time. And that goes along with the cancer, with the hips. I've always had very good experiences with support. So I know not everybody has that. I know not everybody has that same great support system like I had. So I want to help try to create that support system for them, so that they have somewhere to come to if they need help and they don't have the family that can support them. So I guess that's what drives me to help other people, is that I know not everybody gets the same support that I did. So I hope that we can create something that gives them a little piece of support that may get them through whatever they're going through.
R2D's Nuts asks, would you rather be transported permanently 500 years into the future or 500 years into the past?
I saw this question. This is a tough one, because I think as a gamer and a streamer and a tech head, I want to see what's going to be next. But it would also be fun to go back into the past, knowing what you know about history and some of the pretty cool stuff that also happened back then.
Could you imagine if you could go back to 2015 and put like $20 on the Cubs to win the World Series?
yeah, it'd be like Biff from Back to the Future. I'd
Yeah.
have that sports almanac, and
Yeah.
I'd be able to make a killing. But I think as a streamer and a tech head, I would say probably into the future, just because I cannot wait to see what's coming next. And of course, this life will not lead me there that far. I don't think I'm going to live for that long. I hope not, because that'd be a long time. But I think in the future, just to see what's next, I think is pretty exciting.
Lucid Sugar asks, if you had a theme song, what would it be?
Man, of course, as video game heads, we always think of the songs that are accompany our favorite video games.
There you go.
I would say a theme song would probably just I think it would be The Legend of Zelda. I think it goes back to what I fell in love with. And it's just a very, it's one of those songs that you know what it is when it comes on. And it's a very, I think it's a very basic song as far as like, the 8-bit goes itself. But I think it's a song of triumph and overcoming stuff. And so I think that would be, it's always kind of been my motto, is just to pick myself up and charge head forward. And I think Zelda kind of matches up with that too.
Lucid also asks, if you could pick one meal to have forever, what would it be?
I know why she asked this question, because we talk, and she's Devil's Rass wife, and we talk about food mm-hmm. all the time. I think so many of our lives revolve around food. I love food too, and it comes back to food talk, I think. But if I had to have one meal for the rest of my life, what would it be? Probably pizza. I think there's unlimited combos for a pizza, so I think it would be pizza.
Because, unlimited codes for Johnson.
Yes, that's where I was going with that. But I think pizza for sure, man. I'm a huge food fan, but like pizza is like my go-to thing that I get cravings for, that I'm like, okay, we're ordering pizza tonight. So I think it would be pizza for sure.
Mr. Handsome asks, what random trivial skill do you possess or wish to possess? For example, juggling, balloon animal making, vape tricks.
Making vape tricks. Wow. Some of his questions were fantastic, and I laughed a lot. Yeah. I think it would be, gosh, there's so many things that I think of that I've tried that I've failed at. A trivial thing that I could be good at. I don't know if it's trivial or not, but magic tricks, I think, would be magic, something that's always fascinated me. So I'd love mm-hmm. to be able to do like sleight of hand tricks or stuff of that nature, because I've always, believe it or not, I've always been a big fan of magic, and I always find it fascinating when I watch these people do these tricks that I know are just sleight of hands or manipulations, but I have a hard time figuring out how they did it. So I'd say probably magic tricks would probably be something that'd be trivial that, that I might, that would be fun to do, fun to know how to do.
I really wish I could do that whistle that like your dad did when you were younger.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. I've tried that sometimes.
I can't do it. That would definitely be, mine. Ansem also asks, if you could have one obscure object that could fly, such as a magic carpet, what would that item be?
One obscure item that could fly. I guess my Xbox, I guess, because we spend so much time on it. I think that if it could fly, and I could just...
I'm sorry. I just envisioned you wrapping your legs around an Xbox and flying off into the sunset. It's a perfect size
to saddle up on, and I could just ride off in the sunset with my gaming console between my legs. So that could lead to whatever you want to think about, but I think it'd be the Xbox for sure.
Straight stick shift or automatic?
Six shift, straight six for sure.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have one currently, but if I could choose one, I probably would have a straight six for sure. I love shifting gears, and that goes back to my grandpa too. But he always drove a truck, and he would always let me shift the gears. He would hit the clutch, but he would let me hit the gears. So that always stuck with me. So if I ever get the chance to have one, it'll definitely be a stick shift for sure.
You're meant to be asks, what would the, and this, okay, so these next two, I told you I'm retiring the Spice Girls question. I'm retiring the toilet paper question too.
Okay.
Because I think everybody knows the answer to that. Right. So these next two questions are going to be like the new standard questions.
Nice.
What would the adult version of an ice cream truck sell, and what song would it play?
I saw this question, and I love the fact that she just has all these fantastic questions.
Oh, it's incredible. Every week.
Every week she comes with all the questions, and that's incredible. What would it sell? I'm envisioning like different sizes of dildos, to be honest. I don't know what else. I don't know what else to say in this, picturing different.
Well, that escalated quickly.
It did, but I just picture different sizes and different colors, and I think they represent ice cream.
Choose
flavors.
Your own adventure.
Choose your own flavor. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And it would
72 flavors.
And I think it would be, it would have the Bound Chicka Wow Wow song as yeah, I think that would be the ice cream truck sound for sure. I love that question, by the way.
All right, awesome. So then the second one that's getting added is, if an epic feast were to be held in your honor, what would be on the table?
Oh man, back to food. So much revolves around food. Right. I think it would be, if it was an epic feast, I think it just reminds me of like the Thanksgiving. So it would be like the giant turkey legs and just the bountiful amounts of casseroles and jellos and just everything you can imagine, all the potatoes, all the starches. You know, it would just be this epic Thanksgiving feast where you would just max out and then pass out like usual. But if I had to pick one, that feels like to me like what my feast should be.
My great aunt makes this jello, and I'm sure everybody has somebody in their family that's made it or has had it before.
Yeah.
But it's the it's got the pretzel crumbs on the bottom.
Oh my god. Yes.
And then whipped cream and then the strawberry jello on top.
Yeah, strawberry pretzel salad.
But when my great aunt made it, she always made sure that she made the pretzels. She put them in the oven and like roasted them real good.
Wow.
So like they've got like this crunch to them.
Nice.
So like you could take a cut of this and like it was almost hard to cut through the pretzels, but it would hold everything else together. And you just take this bite and it's just soft and sweet and then a salty crunch. And it was so flawless. But like every holiday, right?
Yeah.
Is like that's where I get excited about. Like, oh my god,
yep.
Claire's bringing the Jello.
Yep,
like about that Jello life tonight, and like my mom was always the one that she was the one entertaining for holidays. So like we would have like, you know, half a pan of leftover Jello.
Nice,
and it would be like the greatest leftovers for the next 3 days.
Now I need some strawberry pretzel salad in my life here very soon.
Right. Yeah, there's not any holidays coming up.
No, but we can still make it anyway.
True. do you and your wife like cook and bake often? Or are you guys more of a eat out kind of family?
We hit on both. My wife has actually she's actually about the time that I started PBS, she dove into being a Pampered Chef consultant. So,
oh wow. Okay, cool.
She loves to cook, but we do eat out probably more than we should. But I love when she cooks because she's a fantastic cook. And I think since she's got into this Pampered Chef consultant role, she's actually been cooking at home a lot more just to try out different stuff to actually post and to make content for her business itself. So probably both. I would say probably 75-25 probably be, you know, cook at home and eat out. So
very cool. Yeah, my wife, she doesn't give herself enough credit, but she is an incredible cook.
Yes.
But she always like downplays it, like, well, I got the recipe.
I just threw something together. It's no big deal.
Yeah, and like it's like these incredible. Like she just takes like whatever we have in the fridge.
Yeah.
And like now we've got an Instapot, and like she's come up with like these crazy recipes.
Instapots are amazing. We have one, man. And we use it so much now. It's incredible.
Yeah, and then like. It's just, yeah, it's the stuff that she comes up with. And, like, we were, like, so we're going back to, like, how you said, if you had to eat one thing and one thing only, it would be pizza for me, too. And, like, right before our wedding, like, we went on a diet, and it was, like, no carbs, no sugars, things like that. And, like, I was fine with, like, the whole diet.
Right.
Except pizza.
Right.
Like, I would crave pizza. So she came up with these, like, basically she made pizza stuffed peppers.
Ugh.
Like green bell peppers, she would cook up the like a ground beef or whatever, and then make like a ground beef and pizza sauce mixture, fill the peppers, and then top it with mozzarella cheese and some pepperoni, and like it was just enough that like it would take care of that craving,
right?
without breaking our diet.
Right.
And then, so then from there, I was like, well, what else can we do?
Right.
And so there was like buffalo chicken stuff, peppers, Philly cheesesteak stuff. Like we just did, like it just became like a platform. I'm like, this is what
it's
I mean.
So much,
with these ideas. And it's
so much fun to try new stuff, especially with food.
No, I love it.
And you know, you do have some misses, but as good as a cook as my wife is, there's a lot more hits than misses. And, you know, I enjoy eating out too, but then you get that home cooked meal and it's just like one of those fantastic meals where you're like, I love eating at home and having this meal more than any other takeout food. So she's a credible cook, and she does all the cooking in the house, and on top of working, and on top of taking, you know, I try to do a lot for my son too, but she does so much too. So pretty incredible that she does all she does and then still finds time to make amazing meals in the kitchen too. So,
and put up with you. It's incredible.
Yeah. It's really incredible. I don't know. Must be a saint. I don't know. She is a saint. I don't know how she does it.
Yeah, she's standing over your shoulder right now.
No, she's not. She's actually not. So, but I know she's probably gonna listen to it. So I'm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, forward thinking. I like it. Last question. What are some fun and interesting alternatives to war that countries could settle their differences with?
I think we could probably settle differences a lot easier with a game of Uno, or maybe bust out the Monopoly. And
I feel like that creates more problems.
It could, but it's a lot more fun way of settling it.
That's true.
You know, maybe we could have a video game tournament of some sort, maybe Mario Kart 64 4-player style, and settle our differences, have a tournament style. I know I put a lot of time, a lot of four-way Asian, Mario Kart
Asian,
back
the
in the
Asian
day.
Korea would like run the world.
Yeah, that'd be
all the esports people they've got over there. It'd be insane.
We'd be in trouble, wouldn't we?
This war is settled by League of Legends. Well, okay.
I'll see you later.
Gonna start learning Korean.
But yeah, that'd be. I think it might be some. That's another fun question. But I think that it revolves back around video games or card games in that manner.
Yeah, I dig it. Family game night to settle all the world's problems.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you you taking some time out to sit down and chat with me for a little bit. I think it was a great episode. It was a lot of fun.
I appreciate you having me. Like I said, I was so honored to be able to do this, and I love this podcast. I love getting a chance to know people in the community better, and you do a phenomenal job with it. So thank you, and hats off to you for doing what you do, because it's incredible the amount of work you put into it. So thank you.
I appreciate that. Why don't you tell the people if they want to find more of XXXXXX Tingles, XXXXXXX, where can they find you?
Mixer.com/ it's little X, big capital X, small X, TINGLES, and then the little X, big X, little X again on the end is where you can find
triple X, Tingles, triple X.
There you go.
Go follow him on Mixer. Definitely awesome stream to hang out with. I always enjoy watching you not play video games.
Well, yeah, that's the running joke for sure.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Everybody go check him out. As you know, I'm Roxy Roller. You can find me on Mixer, Instagram, Facebook at Roxy Roller, YouTube at Roxy Roller TV, and Twitter at Roxy Roller 1. Until next time, Mr. Tingles, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you, buddy.
And everybody listening, have a good night. Bye. And that'll be it for the 20th episode of the One of Us Community Podcast. Huge thanks to Tingles for taking the time out of his busy schedule to chat with us. So please make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you receive podcast content. We're on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, as well as many other podcast platforms. If you can, please rate and review the podcast. This will help move us up in the search results and help others find the community. Additionally, you can now support the podcast with a monetary pledge at anchor.fm/OOUcompod/support to help support production and commissioning costs. Don't forget to join the Discord at discord.gg/oneofus to chat with all of our guests and submit questions for future episodes. Additionally, we feature LFG, streaming and tech support, monthly game giveaways, and great conversation with over 2,000 members. You can find me, Rock City Roller, on Mixer, Facebook, and Instagram at Rock City Roller, YouTube at Rock City Roller TV, and Twitter at Rock City Roller 1. For more awesome content from the One of Us stream team, be sure to check out the team page on Mixer, www.mixer.com/team/One of Us. I'll be sure to include that link in the show notes as well. Next week's guest is not yet announced, as I'm working to schedule some more amazing guests for the remainder of the month. So until then, I'm Rock City Roller, and this has been the One of Us Community Podcast.